Okay, well, as you know, current message series is called Rethinking Church. And we are exploring whose heart for the church? God's heart, right? Not my heart, not your heart, God's heart for the church. And so during this whole series, we have been looking at some of the common practices, some of the common thinkings, the customs, the traditions that we find in the church today. And we've been trying to take an honest look at the Scripture and really asking, you know, do the things we do here each week really reflect God's heart for the church, God's heart for SIBC? So today, and also next week as well, so for these 2 weeks, I want to take some time to rethink offering, right? Offering is something most churches do. Most churches have some way of collecting, you know, money from the people who come each Sunday. I think the most common way is they take offering plates or offering bags and they pass them up and down the aisles, right, sometime during the service, and you can give your offering to the Lord that way. Here at SIBC, we're a little different. We have our offering box in back, right? We kind of leave it up to you when you give your offering to the Lord. But offering is a common practice in, I think, most churches. But friends, what does the Bible really say about giving offering to the church? That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, already, some of you are beginning to panic. There's this anxiety and stress in your heart because we're talking about offering today, and you're now expecting me to, well, tell you what to do with your money. Right? You might be expecting me to put pressure. No, we don't, as pastors, we don't put pressure. We use the Word of God to convince you to give more money to SIBC, right? Well, if you're feeling that sort of anxiety or stress about today's topic, please just take a deep breath and relax. Because here's the deal. This morning, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. This morning, it's not my desire to use this message to somehow manipulate you or to make you feel guilty so that you'll give more money to SIBC. And it's not my desire to pressure you or even appeal to you for more offerings. So is that really clear? So you know that despite what you might feel, that's not my intention this morning, all right? So friends, today we really simply just want to look at what Scripture says about giving to the church. We really just want to listen to what Jesus might have to say to us about this very important topic. And as we rethink offering, we just want to discover God's heart for SIBC. So today, before we talk about offering, specifically about giving offering, I want to talk just a little bit about giving in general. And friends, let me start by saying this. Scripture is very clear that giving is good. Giving to the Lord is a good thing. It's good for us to give, whether we're giving our money or our time or our talents or our service, whatever it is we give, giving is a good thing. Right? It's something that God desires from us, and we actually see it all throughout Scripture. I'm not going to show you verses today, but next week I think I'll show you a few. But giving is a good thing, and this morning I want to just start out with giving you three reasons why giving is good. Just in case you're not convinced here this morning, I want to try to convince you in 5 minutes or less. So here we go. Three things I want to share. Number one, friends, giving is the example of God. My friends, our God is a giving God, right? And He has given us so many things. I mean, He's given us this earth to live on. That's a pretty big gift, isn't it? Right? He's given us life. He's given us health. He's given us family. He's given us friends. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. God has given us salvation. He's given us forgiveness. He gives us His peace, His joy, His love, His grace. He gives us hope. He gives us eternal life. He's given us the Bible to lead us and guide us through this life. On top of that, He's given us the clothes that we wear, the jobs that we go to each day. He's given us food. He gives us houses to live in. We can go on and on and on and on. But friends, God is a giving God. And He gives to us faithfully and He gives to us generously. And therefore, we want to do the same. Following the example of God, we too want to give faithfully. We want to give generously to Him. Friends, giving is good because giving is God. That doesn't make much sense in English, so here's a better way of putting it. Friends, giving is a good thing because giving is a God thing. right? God is a giving God. And so as we want to give, because in giving we are just following the example that He sets for us. So that's one reason why giving is good and one reason why we want to give. Let me give you a second one here. Right, giving is good because giving acknowledges God's provision in our lives. Now, I know that each one of you worked very, very hard at your job in order to earn income for you and for your family. So I don't want to belittle in any way the work that you do, but friends, Scripture is clear. Bible is clear. Everything we have is given to us by God. You think, no, I earned it myself. Well, Bible says everything we have is given to us by God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses reminds the people that it's God who gave them the ability to produce wealth. James 1:17 says that every good thing that we have in life is actually a gift from God. You see, friends, God is the one who provides for us. And so when we give to God, it's just our way of just acknowledging God's wonderful provision for us. And we're simply just, when we give, we're simply just giving back to God what He's already given. I think a great example of this is 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You might be familiar with the story. King David is gathering all these materials to build this temple for God in Jerusalem. Right? And so he asked the people of Israel to give their silver and to give their gold as an offering to be used to build the temple. Right? And so the people of Israel, they gave, and they gave generously. And if you read chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, you see that in the end, they collected 270 tons of gold. That's a lot of gold. 270 tons of gold and 320 tons of silver. That's a huge offering, right? And so in 1 Chronicles 29, David, he's looking at these big mounds of gold and silver, and he begins to pray. He begins to talk to God. And look at what David says in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 29, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. David says this, "But who am I? Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" Remember, he's talking to God. Everything comes from You. And we have only given You what comes from Your hand. Friends, those are just amazing words from David. He's looking at all of this wealth. And David says that he knows that all of this wealth that they just gave to the Lord, they didn't give of their own wealth. Rather, David says that they are just giving back to God what God has already given to them. And that's why he says they were able to give so generously. That's why they gave so willingly. You see, friends, when we give to God, we're just simply giving back to Him what He's already given to us. And in that way, giving to God, it's an expression of thanksgiving. It's an expression of gratitude towards God. When we give, we're just acknowledging God's provision for our lives. And that's why we want to give. That's why giving is good. All right? Let me give you a third reason real quick why giving is good. Number three, giving teaches us to trust God. Right? Giving teaches us to trust God. Friends, the world around us, what do they put their trust in? They put their trust in their wealth, right? They trust in wealth for their hope. They trust in wealth for their security. That they put their trust in their money to meet their physical needs, both their current, present needs, but also for their future needs, right? They save up money, they put it away for a rainy day, save it up in the bank, thinking that that'll be something they can depend on and rely on in the future. And for that reason, many people, they want to hang on to their money. They don't want to give it away. They hang on to it because they need it, because that's their hope, that's their security, that's their confidence. That's what they put their trust in. Well, Proverbs 11:28 tells us, whoever trusts in riches will fall. Whoever trusts in riches will fall. You see, friends, money, wealth, you know, they ultimately will fail us. Even if we have a lot of it, it won't provide the things that are really important. And on top of that, when that becomes our pursuit in life, when our pursuit is to try to get money and hang on to it, friends, we become a slave. We become a slave to money, a slave to wealth, because as greed begins to grow in our heart, we don't see it as greed, right? We just see it as we need more money so we can have more security, more hope, more confidence. But as greed begins to grow in our heart, and there's this ever-growing appetite for more and more. But you know, friends, God wants to protect us from that. And that's why Scripture tells us to give. That's why Scripture tells us not to be kind of close-fisted with the wealth God has given to us, but it tells us to be open-handed with what God has given. You see, friends, giving is God's way of helping us to get free and stay free from that slavery to money. Because when we give to the Lord, we're learning to trust in Him, right? Instead of in our money, our wealth, to provide for our needs. When we give to the Lord, we're learning to live open-handedly instead of hanging on to our money. And friends, that's good for us. You see, giving teaches us to trust in God. Giving teaches us to look to the Lord to meet our needs and not our money. Giving to the Lord causes us to find hope and security in God alone and not in the wealth that God gives to us. And so giving is God's way of helping us to grow in faith. Giving is God's way of helping us to learn how to trust in Him. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. So, clearly we could say a lot more about why giving is good, and we could maybe even find more examples of why giving is good. But friends, as we start talking about offering today, I want this to be the foundation that we build on. Giving is a good thing. As Christians, we want to give. It's the example of God. It acknowledges God's provision in our lives. It teaches us to trust God. Just giving is good for us. And so everything I say from here on for the rest of the message, it's built upon this. Giving is good. All right? Okay. Well, with that said, let's talk about offering. And I want to start this morning by asking this question. What is the purpose of giving offering? You know, each week or each month we give offering to the church. Why do we do that? Well, why do we give offering to the Lord by giving it to the church? Now, I don't know about you, but as a young Christian, I was taught that the church needed my offering in order for the church to be strong and healthy, right? The church has many activities, is doing many good things, and they need the offerings of the people who attend in order for it to remain strong and healthy and grow. And therefore, I had a responsibility to give regular, faithful offering to the church. And this was my way of helping to support the life and support the ministry of the church. And so as a young Christian, I began to give. And I've been doing that now for 25 years, right? Every month, without fail, first me, and then after Chris and I got married, now it's we, right? We willingly, joyfully, gladly give offering to the church. And this has become a regular part of our Christian life, giving offering to help support the church, build up the church. It's part of our devotion to Jesus. And that might be the same for many of you. Right? You give to the Lord by giving to the church, and you give regularly, you give faithfully, and it's motivated by your desire to be obedient to Jesus. It's motivated by your desire to help build up SIVC. Friends, I think that's a good thing. I think God's pleased when we want to give, when we give willingly, when we give to help build up the church. I think God's very pleased with that. However, as far as I can tell, I don't see that anywhere in the New Testament. That kind of giving is just not something that I can find in the pages of New Testament Scripture. Now, we see it in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, we clearly see this kind of giving. In the Old Testament, God actually commanded His people to give a tithe, 10%, right? Every week or any time they received their harvest, they were commanded to give that tithe. Right? And they were commanded to give it to the priest and to the temple. I mean, the whole purpose of this offering was to maintain the religious system. And so the tithe was used to meet the needs of the temple and to meet the needs of the priests who served in the temple. And that's really clear in Old Testament. And yet when we get to the New Testament, giving for those reasons, for that purpose, it just disappears, doesn't it? And if you think about it, it really makes sense. Because unlike in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, well, the New Testament church didn't have temples or buildings that needed to be maintained, right? As we saw a few weeks ago, who's the building in the New Testament? Who's the temple of God in the New Testament? We are. And unlike in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we don't see this class of religious professionals who get paid to do spiritual things, right? Like the priest did. Because according to what we've been studying recently, who are the priests in the New Testament church? We all are. There were buildings and temples and religious workers that needed to be supported in the Old Testament. But we don't see that at all in the New Testament. And I think for this reason, friends, we don't see any commands, we don't even see any examples in the New Testament that says we should give weekly offering or monthly offering to the church in order to maintain and build up the activities of the church. Now, I wish we did see that, because then I could preach on that, and maybe we wouldn't be having the financial problems we're having here at SIBC. But we just don't see it in Scripture. So let's get back to our question. What's the purpose of giving offering? Friends, do you know why the New Testament Christians gave offering? Do you know the purpose and the motivation for New Testament giving? I'll tell you. New Testament Christians gave offering in order to meet the needs of people. They didn't give because there was some religious law to give or there was some obligation to give. They gave in response to need. Right? They didn't give every week out of a habit or discipline or a commitment. They didn't give because there was some rule or law or command that they had to obey. No, when they saw a need, they gave offering to meet that need, and they gave generously. Now, I could show you so many examples of this, but let me just show you a couple here today to try to convince you of this. First of all, Acts chapter 2. As you know, this is a wonderful description of the early church, the early Christians, as they were doing life together. Look at Acts 2, verse 45. Describes what they were doing. It says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Isn't that amazing? Here we have Christians, and they're selling their possessions. They're selling their computers and their flat-screen TVs. Why? Not to get money for themselves. They're selling their possessions so that they would have money to actually give away to other people who have need. How much of that do you see happening in the church today? And yet that's what they were doing. All right? There's another example in Acts chapter 4. Take a look here, verses 34 and 35. It says, there were no needy persons among them as the early Christians, right, the church in Jerusalem. And it says, from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone as he had need. Now, if the last verse was amazing, this is even more amazing. People aren't just selling their possessions. They're selling land. They're selling property. That's how people make income, right, is with land. They're selling houses that you live in. But they were selling these things. For what purpose? For the purpose of giving it to the apostles, giving it to the church, so it could be given out to those who had need. Wow. Another example is the Apostle Paul. As you know, Paul traveled around on his missionary's journey, and he went to visited many churches in many cities. Well, he actually helped to plant churches in many cities. But as Paul traveled around, Paul encouraged the churches in these different cities to collect an offering and send it to the Christians in Jerusalem. Now, we're not exactly sure why, but just kind of reading from what Paul says, the Christians in Jerusalem were experiencing great financial difficulties. Now, we don't know why. We do know that the Christians in Jerusalem experienced much persecution. We also know, for a fact, there was a famine in Jerusalem. So maybe one of those two things, or both of those things, is what caused their financial hardship. But whatever the reason was, Paul is talking to these other churches, these other Christians, who've never met these Christians in Jerusalem, and he's asking these churches to help out. He's asking these churches to give. And as we read in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and we'll look at a little bit next week, these churches gave very generously. Even the churches that were very poor and really couldn't afford to give, it says they gave to help meet the needs of the Christians in Jerusalem. But friends, my point is this. They gave in response to a need. They saw a need that their Christian brothers have, and they gave to it generously. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul has some interesting words to say. Look at what he says. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, good advice, but work, doing something useful with his hands. Why? That he may have something to share with those in need. Paul is telling people it's good to work. And you don't work just to get money for yourself so you can buy food for yourself and have housing for yourself and clothes for yourself. He says you should work so that you have money to give away. How many of you work with that thinking in mind? Oh, I'm so happy to be here at work because now I can earn money so I can give it away. That's exactly what Paul says. Don't take from people, he says. Give to those in need. One more verse. Romans 12:13. Very simple. Share with God's people who are in need. Pretty clear, isn't it? Friends, Paul specifically tells us to give to those who are in need, especially those within the church family. Now, guys, these are just a few examples of giving in the New Testament. Right? But we see that when the early Christians gave offerings, they were motivated by the needs of people. They weren't just kind of giving to the church because the church needed money. They were giving to help meet the needs of people. They gave in response to people's needs. Now, let me show you. There's actually two groups in specifically that they gave to in the New Testament. Let me just quickly show these to you. Right? First of all, they gave to the poor and needy. Now, we all know what it means to be poor, right? And just in case you're wondering, none of us here are poor, right? By the world standards, we are the richest of the rich, right? By the world standards. By Japan standards, maybe we're middle class, right? But we're not poor, right? But we know what poor is, right? But there's also the needy. And the needy would be those people who aren't necessarily poor, but for whatever reason, in that season in their life, they had financial need. Maybe it's like the Christians in Jerusalem who are suffering because of famine, right? They weren't necessarily poor, but during that season, they were needy. They had need. And so we often see just throughout the New Testament, we see that the early Christians wanted to give to those who were poor and needy, wanted to help these people with their needs, especially those who were part of the family of God. We especially see Christians giving to help out other Christians in need. That's one group that they often gave to. The other group that we see people giving to in the New Testament is missionaries and church planters. Or missionaries and apostles. See, but these would be people like Paul. Right? And they traveled from city to city to preach the gospel and to start new churches. But because they were always on the move, it was hard for them to maintain a regular job. You know, it was hard for them just to go into a city for 6 months and try to find work. And so the other early churches often supported these traveling Christian workers. A number of times in Paul's letters, especially Philippians and in 2 Corinthians, we see examples where Paul thanks these churches for giving their financial gifts, for supporting Paul as he travels around to do missionary work to plant churches. So friends, these are the two examples we see of the needs, the kind of needs that the early Christians were giving to. Right? When they gave offering, they were giving to help the poor and needy, and they were giving to support missionaries and church planters. Those are the two examples we see in Scripture. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the one example that we don't see in New Testament, we don't see the example of people giving weekly offerings to their local church. I know that's what we always do, right? That's what we've been taught, but we don't really see that, right? And maybe that's because, well, maybe the early church didn't need a lot of money. Maybe the way they did church when they gathered together, maybe it didn't cost them much, you know, to gather together on Sunday. And so when the Christians wanted to give to the Lord, there wasn't anything to give to at the church, so they gave it away to the poor and the needy and the missionaries and the church planners. And friends, that's really different than most churches today, isn't it? Because most churches today need money in order to maintain their church activities each week. Some churches need a lot of money in order to maintain their activities each week. Even a small church like us, I mean, what, there's 20 people here. We need 400,000 yen a month to do what we do here on Sundays. That's a lot of money. And for us, most of our money, our biggest expense is what? It's our rent, right? Our rent is almost three quarters of that amount, right? And that's probably true with many churches, right? A lot of churches put, I think, a lot of money into their buildings, either in paying rent or buying property or building a new building or a bigger building or a nicer building or maintaining their building, you know, repairing their building. I mean, we spend a lot of money on buildings. And yet, how much, as churches, how much do we actually give to missionaries and church planters and those who are poor and those who are needy? Maybe we don't give quite as much as we do to some other things in the church, right? And but, you know, here at SIBC, because of our recent financial struggle, you know, almost 100% of the monthly offering we receive, the amount you put in the box in the back, almost 100% goes to meet the needs of this church, of us. Now, a few years ago at SIBC, our goal was we wanted to give away 10% of our offering to missions and to missionaries. I don't think we ever made it. I think the best we ever did was around 7% or 8% of our monthly offering we were giving away. But friends, even when we were trying to be generous, we were trying to give, you know, money away, we were still spending 93% of the offering on ourselves. We have rent and we have insurance and got to pay for the telephone line and, you know, we have the copy machine that needs to be repaired and we have computers. They're all really old, but we have the computers and the projector. The bulb went out. The bulb cost 50,000 yen, right, just a few months ago. And we have sound equipment. We have paper for the bulletin. We have bread for the communion. And we have all these things. And the reason why we spend money on all of these things is so that we can gather here on Sunday morning, so we can have a nice worship service at SIBC. But you see, friends, in doing that, we're spending the offering on ourselves. We're giving, but we're kind of giving to ourselves. And friends, that's probably true in most churches, isn't it? But it wasn't true in the early church. They didn't give to benefit themselves. They gave for the benefit of others. They gave to meet the needs of others. Some of you are still thinking about the 50,000 yen bulb, I can tell. Here's the deal. Now don't misunderstand me, because I'm not saying that it's wrong to spend money on things like rent and computers and paper for the bulletin. I can't say it's wrong, because the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, right? The Bible just doesn't say anything. And maybe if they had, you know, microphones and projectors back in the time of Jesus, maybe the early Christians would have spent money on those things. I don't know, maybe. But friends, here's the question I want us to consider this morning. Is God pleased with the way we use our offering each month? When we give our offering to the church, are we using it in a way that really reflects God's heart? Right? Is this how God wants us to use the offering that comes into SIBC each month? Now again, I'm not saying it's wrong for us to use it like we're doing, but wouldn't it be nice? Think about this for a moment. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't need so much money to gather here each week? Recently, our offering has been about 300,000 yen, right? That's how much we've been getting each month. Imagine if we could somehow meet and only spend 50,000 yen a month. Imagine if 50,000 yen covered all of our expenses. I don't know how we would do that, but imagine we could. That would mean each month we could give away 250,000 yen. Instead of spending it on ourselves, we could actually give it away and help people in need. Wouldn't that kind of be cool? I mean, imagine there's someone in the church and they lose their job. And they're having a hard time finding a new job, so they can't pay their rent. They're having a hard time providing food for their family. Wouldn't it be great if we could help them out for a couple of months? Or wouldn't it be great if we could take some of our offering or most of our offering and send it up to Tohoku and help the workers and the churches who are still doing relief work up there? Wouldn't it be cool if every month we could take some money and help the poor, help feed the poor in Shimimamiya? Or remember when Nicole Lim who's working in Nigeria came about a year ago now, right? And she said that for 5,000 yen a month, we could help a girl go to high school who couldn't afford to go to high school. Wouldn't that be cool? If we could help someone go to high school, talk about a need. Wouldn't it be cool if we could support a missionary working in some other country? Wouldn't it be cool if we could support an organization that is trying to provide clean water for villages in third world countries? Friends, there are so many good things we could do with 250,000 yen a month. We could give that money away and actually meet the needs of people who have needs, real needs. Doesn't that just kind of sound a little exciting? Wouldn't that kind of just encourage you to give because you're giving to something that really needs it, right? So friends, as I read Scripture, and God, like I said, there's so much more I could show you from Scripture, both Old Testament, New Testament. Friends, I think this really is the heart of God. That the purpose of giving is to meet the needs of people. We're never told to give to the church, to build up the church, to support the church. Right? The example we see is giving to meet the needs of people. Well, that's really kind of a different way of thinking about offering, isn't it? That's probably not the kind of message you usually hear the pastor give when the pastor talks about giving in the church. And yet, these are just some of the things I've been thinking about during these last few years as I'm on this journey of really trying to understand what it means to follow Jesus. And so this morning, I think the question for us is how are we going to respond? How do we respond just to some of the things we've been thinking about today? So as I prepare to close, let me just share a couple of things with you. First of all, let me say this. Remember what I said at the very beginning of the message. Giving is good. Right? Giving is good. God wants us to give. We want to give, right? As we give, we express our thanks and our gratitude to God for His provision. We express our faith and our trust in Him. We're being like God. We're following His example when we give. So giving is a good thing. It's the God thing we want to give. Having said that, as a church family, I think our response to this is maybe it would be good for us to really rethink how we do offering here at SIBC. Right? Specifically, how do we want to use the offering that the church receives each month? Right? I mean, all of you give. Thank you for giving. Thank you very much. But now, what do we want to do with that? Do we want to continue to spend the offering on ourselves? Or do we want to consider reducing our expenses here at SIBC so that we could give away more of our offering or most of our offering to really meet the needs of the people around us? That's a hard question for us. Because depending on how we answer that, it's going to really affect maybe how we gather and where we gather is the big question, right? And really that's the question that I think is important for us to answer, especially as the moving committee is investigating different options for our future. How we answer this question of offering might help to determine which way we go in the future. So as a church family, I think that would be really good for us to take some time to talk about this and to think about this together, to really rethink what we want to do with offering here at SIBC. All right? And then I think on an individual level, I think we can also respond. And I think on an individual level, maybe it's good for us to also rethink offering. And maybe to rethink, what we do when we give offering. You know, when I was a young Christian and people taught me about giving offering, and no one ever told me, at least that I can remember, no one ever told me to seek Jesus or to talk to Jesus or listen to Jesus before I gave. Right? Instead of asking Jesus for myself how much I should give, the pastor guy up front told me how much to give. 10%, he said. No reason to talk to Jesus because he already told me 10%. So I began to give 10%. And instead of asking Jesus, Jesus, who do you want me to give it to? Well, the pastor already told me I'm supposed to give it to the church, so why even talk to Jesus about it? Right? And so that's what I did. I mean, all these 25 years, my giving has just become very, what's the word? It's become very independent of my relationship with Jesus. I was giving offering not out of relationship with Jesus. I was giving it because of principle. I was taught, these are the rules for giving. Follow these rules. That makes you a good Christian. And so for all these years, I've been giving to the church. And I've never really once asked Jesus, what do you want me to do with this money you've given to me? Never took time to talk to Jesus before I gave. You kind of understand what I'm saying? Friend, and I still think God is pleased when we give in that way. I don't think God's like angry because we're giving. I mean, we're following His example. I think for whatever motivates us to give, if we give, I think that's good. But friends, I think there is a better way. Because as Christians, we want to learn how to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus and follow Jesus in every area of our lives, right? And that includes this area of giving offering. I don't think we're supposed to automatically give our offering to church each week, each month.
Did I just say that?
Are pastors supposed to say that? Yeah, I think it's true. I don't think we're just supposed to just get a paycheck, automatically give it to the church. Because in the New Testament, we're never told to automatically give that to the church. And so, friends, I think in this way, we need to rethink offering. And so here's my thinking as it stands, what's today, February 19th, 2012. It might change, but here's my thinking right now. When we receive our salary each month or each week or whenever you receive your salary, when we receive our salary, I think we take that and we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for giving this to me. Thank you for providing for my needs. And now, Jesus, as an expression of my love and my thanks to you, I want to give some of this back to you. And then we ask Jesus two questions. The first question, Jesus, how much do you want me to give? See, that's not my decision or your decision, right, to make. It's Jesus, how much do you want me to give? And I know some of you are thinking, oh, but the Bible tells us 10% tithing. We'll talk about that next week, right? Jesus, how much do you want me to give? Second question is this, Jesus, who do you want me to give this to? And we ask those questions and then we take time to be still and we listen to Jesus. Friends, and I think when we do that, we will be letting Jesus lead us and Jesus guide us as we give our offering. And isn't that the way it should be? Isn't that the way it should be in every area of our lives? Is we ask Jesus to lead us and guide us. Now, friends, I'll admit, this is not the easy way. The easy way is to simply drop a few bills in the box each week or each month. That's the easy way. The hard way is seeking Jesus. And it's hard because it actually puts responsibility on us to do it. It's hard because we actually have to take the time to go before Jesus and talk to Jesus and listen to Jesus. And then our crazy busy lives, that's hard. So friends, it's not the easy way, but I believe it is the better way. And I think it's better because as we look to Jesus for our giving, I think we're inviting Jesus into that important area of our lives. Right? As we look to Jesus and ask Jesus about who and how much and who we should give, I think that's better because it's actually helping us to draw closer or go deeper in relationship with Him. And I think it's better because when we look to Jesus about our giving, we ask Jesus about our giving, it teaches us, that process teaches us how to listen to His voice. Friends, this is not the easy way, but I think it's a better way. Now, having said that, I don't know about you, but I'm still learning to hear Jesus' voice. And man, how many times do I ask Him to lead me and guide me and I just don't hear anything, right? So what happens when I have my salary and I say, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this? How much do I give? Who do I give it to? And what if He doesn't say anything? Or what if I don't hear anything? Then what do I do? Well, I'll tell you what. Well, I hope when we're in that situation, I hope that we don't respond by just using that as an excuse to not give. Right? Oh, Jesus didn't speak to me. I guess He doesn't want me to give. Well, we know that's not true because Scripture is very clear. It's God's heart that we give. So that's not an option. So don't use this as an excuse not to give, right? Right? So I think we do give because giving is good. It's good for us. Right? So, but when we want to know what God wants, but Jesus doesn't speak to us, I think then it's kind of up to us to say, okay, well, I'm still going to give. And then I think we can look around for a need or look around and decide who to give it to. Right? And it might be to the church. It might be somewhere else. And then the next month when you get your salary again, you do the same thing again, right? Last month I didn't hear what Jesus had to say, but I'm going to ask again this time. Jesus, thank you for this. Thank you for providing for my needs. Jesus, I want to give some of it back to you. How much do you want me to give and who do you want me to give it to? And then we listen again. We might do that the whole year. They might not say anything. Maybe we're having a hard time hearing. You know, then we just faithfully give it anyway to what we see, what need we see. But friends, I have to believe that when we do that week after week, month after month, man, Jesus will begin to speak to us. You know that's going to bless His heart when we want to bring that area of our lives and give it to Him. So friends, this is a very different way of thinking about offering, is it not? And you might actually be a little surprised that I'm saying these things today because, you know, we have this kind of financial shaky situation here at SIBC. You might be thinking that the better message to give would be, give more to the church, give more to the church, right? Give more, we need your money. I mean, I could do that. And you know what? I could actually find verses in the Old Testament that I can use that would inspire you. That would motivate you, usually with fear and guilt, because that's what people use to motivate when it comes to money, right? But I wouldn't make it obvious I was doing that. But I can use those verses to encourage you and to motivate you and inspire you to give. And if I did that on a regular basis, giving would probably go up at SIBC. And our problem might be solved. I could do that, but I won't. Because I think that would be a misuse of Scripture. And I think that would be going against the heart of God. And so I know this is a dangerous message for me to preach because if you ask Jesus, Jesus, who shall I give this to? He might lead you to give somewhere else. Instead of SIBC. But you know what? That's okay with me. Because I'm not so concerned about the size of the offering at SIBC. The thing I'm concerned about is that each and every one of us honestly, genuinely learns how to look to Jesus and listen to Jesus and obey Jesus in every area of our lives, including the giving of offerings. That is by far the more important thing for us. And friends, when we do that, when we learn how to look to Jesus with our money and ask Jesus what to do, He'll build His church. Absolutely, He will build His church. He might not build it in the way we're doing it right now. If this is some man-made religious system that He doesn't put His seal of approval on, He'll lead you to give somewhere else and it'll cause us to rethink how we do church. But friends, if we are looking to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to give this gift to You, He will build His church. Absolutely, and He will use us to do it. What it will look like will be up to Him and not up to us. Well, gosh, that was kind of long, wasn't it? Well, really, that's all for today. But we are going to talk a little bit more about this next week. So I really do encourage you to join us again next week. But friends, for today, let me just close with this. I really do want to encourage you to take time to rethink your current practice of giving to the church. Now, if you're faithfully giving to SIBC, thank you very much. But honestly, my desire is that our giving would be motivated not out of habit, not out of duty or obligation or guilt or fear or manipulation or some sort of religious command or rule or principle that we learned. My heart is that our giving would be motivated by simple relationship with Jesus. And more, right, may we seek the Lord in this area of our lives, and may we learn how to follow Him wherever He may lead. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we do just say thank you, thank you, thank you, 1,000 times over, thank you for your wonderful provision for us. Even in those seasons, those months where we feel like financially we're kind of struggling and we're having a hard time, gosh, a quick look around our apartment, around our house, and we say thank you for just your generosity and your faithfulness to us. And Jesus, in response to just all that you've given to us, we do want to give back to you. We want to have a heart and an attitude of giving, and we want to be able to give joyfully and generously, and we want to do that. But Jesus, we don't want to just do it religiously. We don't want to just give based on rules or commands or guilt or fear or anything. Jesus, we want you to lead us and guide us in this area of our lives. So Jesus, we know it's hard. You know it's hard for us to get out of familiar habits. But Lord, I pray that you might help us to break free of whatever habit we might be in now. If it's the habit of not giving, I hope that you would break us out of that. And if it's the habit of just giving religiously, help us to break free of that. Help us to learn how to look to you and listen to you and seek you about what you want us to do with the generous money, the generous amounts of wealth that you have given to each of us. Jesus, help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear just the gentle nudgings of the Holy Spirit as He wants to speak to our heart, as you want to lead us and guide us. Jesus, help us to follow the example of your Father as He has given to us. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name.